about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Now, what we're gonna try to do is fix the way you young ladies relate to each other. Okay? Lady to lady. So, who has a lady problem that they like to talk about?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I never meant to cause you any sorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I never meant to cause you any pain.
Yeah.
Only wanted one time to see you laugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
I only wanted to see you laughing.
Yeah.
In the purple rain. Purple rain. Purple rain.
Smell it.
And now.
And on the third day, God created the Remington Bull Action Rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
Our feature presentation.
That's scary.
Mike Pence, everybody. Mike Pence.
I think that may have been one of the things that Allie likes the least, is that remix.
Oh, Purple Rain you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that was not a good match of a very talented entertainer.
Right.
And a song. Sometimes you pick the wrong song. It's just a bad judgment.
Yeah, it was a mistake on that one.
It was definitely a mistake.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 5th of October.
So, we got to solve a problem here.
Oh, already? So,
saw an article in Los Angeles magazine, and a lot of you know, we're smart people. We see things and we go, "Hey, there's a way to do that better, or there's a solution to that problem."
Sure.
And then sometimes you just get flummoxed. You just go, "Well, I don't know how to solve that one. I don't know what to do about that one."
And that's when you turn to me.
And that's when I turn to you. Right. Exactly. This is an article from Los Angeles magazine, the most recent issue. Josh Scherer is the guy who wrote it, and he has had it up to here with the traffic that snakes out of the drive-through lanes for In-N-Out Burger.
It's the only business out or in?
Out. Oh, I mean, it out into the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the people who are lined up
to
go through the drive-through, the traffic goes out into the street.
Yeah. And there's one right by my house, and it's always, I don't know, 5 to 8 cars deep on Ventura Boulevard.
Exactly. Yes. That is 100% the problem.
Yes.
He happens to live near the Westwood In-N-Out, and he says every single day he comes around that blind curve, and there it is. There's the traffic just in the street, stopped illegally. Yet it seems to be okay. I mean, no one does anything about it. I mean, you can't just stop your car in the street because you want a hamburger, right?
Well, I feel like you can,
but
they do.
People do, yes.
And it makes me want to. And I see it, I go, "Oh, I should get in that line." Because at the end of it, In-N-Out.
At the end of it, In-N-Out, right. He says, he also says, on his current commute home, I pass the In-N-Out in Palms, where cars repeatedly blocked through traffic trying to make the right on Canfield off of Venice. It drives me insane. In-N-Out drive-through lines are literally the only thing that's ever incited road rage in me. I don't care how much you want a cheeseburger and how little you want to leave your car, but you don't get to break the law and put me in danger because of it.
Don't put me in danger. Stop being a baby.
People
need a burger.
I'm not saying people don't need a burger.
Not to mention a shake.
In-N-Out is not the problem here.
Okay,
in terms
good.
Of its existence.
It's just this guy and his complaining.
But does this bother you at all that traffic goes into the street?
No.
Really?
No.
You think it's okay?
You need a burger.
Just because of In-N-Out? What if it were something else? What if it were people in line for the pharmacy at Walgreens? Would it bother you?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's nothing that anyone can do. Is there?
That's why I bring it up. Is there something people could do? Like, should people not be allowed to park on the street? If you drive by the In-N-Out and the line already gets to the lip of the parking lot, should you have to, you know, go around?
You have to drive by?
I'm saying if you can't line up legally in line, maybe you need to pull into the parking lot and go into the restaurant.
Maybe you need to shut up and get a burger. Maybe that's what I'm saying. And they do, by the way. They speed it up as much as possible. They get a guy out there with a little electronic thing. They take your order while you're 5 cars back.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you get up there, it's ready to go. I mean, they're moving it as fast as they can.
So your reaction to Mr. Scherer's article in Los Angeles Magazine is, shut up. It's not a problem.
Stop complaining.
Just
we actually have real problems.
Let people park in the street.
Well, they're not parking.
Well, they are, though.
No, but they're not. They're moving much slower.
They're sitting in a lane of traffic. Do we have so many lanes of traffic in Southern California now that we can just afford to start blocking them willy-nilly so that somebody can get
by? It's not willy-nilly, first of all. It's by In-N-Out, second of all. There's also a the right lane in a lot of streets you can park on. So a lot of times that's the lane that's backed up into.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but still.
I forget the other one.
All right, so we have determined the solution to this problem is that it's not a problem. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Shut up and let people get their burgers.
Okay. All right. I guess that is the conclusion then.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
I'm going to make sure that you die homeless.
Wow. That hurts. I haven't even told her yet. Adam Carolla will be here.
Yeah.
We have the – and this is unrelated to anybody that we know. We're going to do a phone-in topic today of the shortest time you were married.
I can't even – think of anyone I know who's gotten married recently. So this very much comes out of the blue.
Right. Out of the blue and not related to anybody that we know personally who may have just gotten married.
On Saturday.
As an example. Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Comedian Eddie Ift in studio today.
Love Eddie.
People Are Dumb on the program today.
They certainly
are.
It's
a new feature. Michael Bisping is fighting Dan Henderson. UFC 204. We're going to talk to him. And
How often does somebody get a rematch 7 years later?
Yeah, it's strange. It's pretty weird.
Weird history between these two.
And the clowns. What's up with the clowns?
The clowns are – there's an Instagram account that suggests the clowns are coming to Carson. The clowns are coming to a lot of places. There's a – I mean, we're on high red nose alert right now for the clowns. I mean, it sounds like they are spreading – the closer we get to Halloween, I feel like the more and more people are just going to get in on this for fun.
Right, and
love it. Now you can't tell who's doing it for sinister reasons as who's doing it just because they think it's wacky and it'll be fun to scare the neighbors.
But as long as there's no actual people getting hurt, I couldn't love it more.
Well, there was that story last week where somebody hired a clown to kill their teacher, but it didn't happen.
So, oh,
nobody, so nobody did get hurt.
Thumbs up.
So far, thumbs up.
Thumbs up on the clowns. So we'll talk about that today as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Tickets for Sublime with Rome, also the Offspring at Irvine Meadows on the program today. And keep listening for chance at a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort Park Hopper passes, plus K-Rock's private party at the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. All of that coming up this morning. Hey, Ralph Garman.
So this guy's got a problem because people are in line to get something.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, to get a burger. Yeah.
Sounds like one of those people who, if something bothers me now, it's got to be everybody's problem.
That's my thing. That guy needs to shut the hell up and get a burger.
Yeah.
So you're with me on that one.
Yeah.
All right.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's like saying, okay, I want to get into the parking lot so I can go see a show at the Pantages.
Right. But there are other cars there.
But people are waiting in line to get into the parking lot. So I can't stop in the street to wait in line to get to pull into the parking lot. I'm wrong. I'm the bad guy. What should I do? Just circle the neighborhood, hoping a spot just opens up?
Look,
if you live in a city, you're going to have to get in line for things in your car.
He doesn't want to get in line. He wants the traffic to keep moving forward.
No, I understand what you're saying. But if am I also a problem if I'm waiting in line to get into a parking lot for a Kings game or something at the Pantages? Or if I'm trying to, you have to wait in the street before you pull into the parking lot, right?
I would assume it's anything.
Yeah, well, In-N-Out is what he was writing about.
That's his thing. But then it's a problem because it bugs him. Mm-hmm. Just because it bugs him doesn't make it a problem for everybody. Sometimes you live in a city, you're going to have to deal with crap.
Right.
And that's the price you pay.
That's true.
He should go live in Boise, Idaho, where I'm sure there's nobody waiting in line for anything ever. Except maybe the corn maze. Do they grow corn in Iowa?
Not sure.
Oh. In Iowa, yes. Idaho. You said Idaho.
The potato maze. Hate that guy. Well, I'll put a punch in his face. Well, wait in line to punch him in the face.
Finally, somebody has a reasonable solution to the problem.
You can't wait in line, though. You got to circle.
I'm going to get behind the other guy who's also waiting in line to punch that guy in the face. Ugh, people. Right? Who's with me?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Thank you. You know who makes a lot of money?
Lots of people.
Yes.
Can you narrow it?
These actors and actresses, right? That's where all the money is.
Well, they do.
Variety magazine surveyed actors along with their agents and managers to determine who was making the most money in various primetime, late night, daytime, and news shows. The salaries do not include stuff like merchandising or testimonials or things like that, but it may include money from syndication. This is just pure TV money. This isn't your deal. This isn't supermarket openings. This isn't your fashion line. This is just TV cash.
Okay.
We know who number one in syndication and reality hosting.
Every year we are amazed at how much money she makes.
Judy, Judge Judy, $47 million.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
$47 million.
Yeah.
What do you even do with that amount of money? Even if you are just wildly spending on everything you can think of, you still have so much money left over.
Yeah, because she made that in just the last year.
Right.
She made that also the year before.
Right. So, you know what that means? In the span of 2 years, she made $94 million.
Right. What do you even do with that?
That's baloney.
It's not baloney.
It doesn't make sense.
It's the opposite of baloney.
She just yells at people.
That's all she does. Oh.
She has your job, Ralph.
Right.
She just yells at people.
If I had a law degree, I'd be so much richer. If I just thought to be a judge first before I started yelling at people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine if In-N-Out Boy came into her courtroom.
Oh, man.
I don't like waiting in line. Because when I'm driving, I see other people waiting in line for something, and it bothers me because
so
I...
So you get Zippo, not
a... Oh, but I don't like it. It bothers me.
Not interested, sir.
Yeah, exactly. In drama, this will fascinate you.
Drama.
Drama. Drama.
You're saying drama.
Right. There is a tie at number one for drama, two women who are performing in a series that is yet to air.
Yet to air?
But is a revisitation, a sequel, if you will, of their TV series. Enough hints?
Lady Gaga!
Not Lady Gaga, no. At number one, the biggest salaried actress in drama this
Fan
year.
Bing Bing.
Not Fan Bing Bing. Lauren Graham and Alexis Bledel.
The Gilmore Girls, yes.
Oh. As you mentioned, this show hasn't even come on yet.
Yep. They're each getting $750,000 for, I don't know, what are they doing? A limited series of six episodes? Eight episodes?
Four?
Four. There you go.
It's weak.
It's not, for 750 grand, it's not weak.
No, not for them.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah. The next closest to salaried employee in drama is Mark Harmon. With $525,000 for his work in NCIS.
That's what he gets every week? That's per episode? Half a million? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
That seems low to me just because of all those years ago when the Friends kids were making a million a week.
Well, here's the thing. This is drama. Now, keep in mind, we're not talking about comedies or sitcoms.
Okay.
So don't do that. For example, then you got like a number four, a tie, like an eight-way tie. These are actors getting $500,000 per episode.
Okay.
Kevin Spacey for House of Cards. Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones. Lena Headey for Game of Thrones. Kit Harington. Emilia Clarke. A lot of people from Game of Thrones getting half a mil per episode. Then you move into comedy, and that's where you get the nutty salaries with the Big Bang Theory kids.
These nuts.
$1 million per.
Wow.
For Jim Parsons, Kelly Cuoco, and Johnny Galecki.
Well, they are working about 4 days a week.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Mark Harmon's sweating his ass off, running around on streets and blowing stuff up, and, oh, I'm all NCIS-ing over here, and he's making that, and they're sitting on a soundstage at Burbank going, oh, my calculator broke. Ha, 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 ha. Then they give $1 million.
That show has been on forever and is super successful.
Well, that's the thing. It's all about money in the syndication, right? So,
yep.
There you go. And last, a quick one. News. Who do you think is getting most money in news?
Oh, I have no idea.
News.
I'll say Anderson Cooper.
You know what? He just made a new big deal with CNN. It's going to keep him there for a while. No, he's
the guy that hosts the Today Show.
Yes,
Matt
Kevin.
Lauer.
Yes,
ooh,
Kevin.
Well done.
Making $24 million a year.
Isn't it funny? I didn't even think of Matt Lauer as a news person.
Well, a lot of people would agree with me. But...
Wonder how much Tom Brokaw is making. I used to make $4.32 per evening broadcast.
You know, they still trot Tom out.
I know. Brokey's the best.
Some of their election coverage.
I know.
Is he called Brokey?
Brokey.
when these two took the stage together, we all knew there was going to be no love lost between these two candidates.
I can't believe he was once America's most respected newsman. Couldn't understand the goddamn thing he was saying.
That's why people trusted him.
That's right.
They didn't know that he was lying.
He's just like me. He doesn't know what's going on either. I love that guy.
America said tonight that they're going to be on the other side of Ohio.
What's he saying? I don't know. He's smart. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jesse Eisenberg. Lex Luthor himself. 33 years old today. Kate Winslet. Oh, Kate Winslet.
Right.
So great. 41 years old. Guy Pearce, 49. Just thinking about Guy Pearce the other day. You know, the director of L.A. Confidential passed away not too long ago. If you've never seen that film, you must see it. God, it's great. He's so good in it. And Neil deGrasse Tyson. We just had him in here.
We did.
Scientist, host of Star Talk. He is 58 years old.
I was out that day.
Oh, that's right.
Did Kevin tell Neil what's up?
Yes. When he came in, Kevin said, "What's up?"
No, I just want to make sure that he smacked him down.
I don't remember.
Set him straight on a few things.
I don't remember him smacking or setting.
Really?
So
because
much.
I do it gently.
That's true.
Okay. I do it gently, and he wasn't aware that it was happening. It was just more of a repositioning.
Kevin just eased it in.
Just a tip.
Oh, okay. Come on.
Now you have to make it dirty.
Now.
Of information. What are you talking about?
Oh, just the tip of information. That old phrase that everybody uses. I understand now. You gave him just the tip of information.
Right. We didn't have a time for the deep dive.
I understand.
Right.
So you didn't have the shaft of information. Is what you're saying.
Correct.
Another saying that everyone uses.
Right, all the time.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I keep waiting for someone to step forward and take credit for organizing all these clowns all over the country. They're popping up in Oregon and in Florida and the Carolinas and California.
Now, what's their deal? They just sort of hide in the trees and just...
Yeah.
Have they done anything?
Not that I know of.
Because
I mean,
as long as they don't do anything, this is my favorite story ever.
Oh, I know you love it.
Yeah.
I know you love it.
Until somebody gets hurt.
But we keep hearing, and look, here's the thing, because people already are afraid of clowns, a lot of people are, we keep hearing stories, and I don't know how much of them are actual facts or how much of them is just, you know, this is the rumor is that, hey, there's somebody says there's a clown, and then the next person tells the story, there was a clown who was trying to lure a kid into a van.
Right.
You know, people always trump everything up. But I'm just ready for this to come out to be like a Jackass prank or Eric Andre or the Insane Clown Posse is behind it or something like that. But I guess we won't know until we do. And this story in Philadelphia, a lot of people say, is not a joking matter because apparently there have been clowns on social media. Very few details have been released from the police there who have been threatening classes at high schools there.
And teachers, I think.
And teachers, yeah.
And the school and the police department put out a joint statement saying we're taking this seriously and we need to look into it and see what's going on.
Yeah, so this is somebody who took something that, as you were saying, was just a lot of fun for the Halloween season, and now they're making it not fun once you start getting into threats. Now, I don't know what you think of Dave as a producer, but he was able to track us down a clown in Philadelphia who may or may not know anything, who may or may not be involved in this. I don't know how he did it. Like, how do you even find a clown in Philadelphia? Who do you call to start that process? But we do have a guest on the phone who maybe can help us understand what's going on out there. Hello there, sir.
Yo, how you doing?
Well, we're doing fine. Who's this?
This is Scrapple the Clown. How you doing?
Scrapple.
Yeah, I'm Scrapple the Clown. I'm a cop.
What?
I'm a cop.
You're a police officer who is also a clown?
Oh, no. Sorry for the confusion. I'm a cop. Clown of Philadelphia. It's our organization.
Oh, I see.
Clown of Philadelphia. COP.
Yeah, that word means something else to most people.
Well, it means something to me, too. I didn't dawn on me until I just said it out loud.
I see.
Now I got to go change all the stationery.
Now, Scrapple, your clown name is Scrapple. That's that. It's a meat product that you eat out there, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a delicious breakfast meat that we enjoy here in the Philadelphia area.
Right, I heard the name somewhere.
That's why I took that name for my clown name, because usually, you know, something important to it, it means something.
Right.
So that's why I picked Scrapple, because Scrapple is delicious.
Right.
And I'm deliciously amusing.
Okay. All right.
Now the school and the police department do not find you amusing.
Well, you're confused. Surprise, surprise. These online threats that those of us here at COP are trying to let people know that these are not actual clowns of Philadelphia making these threats, that these are not recognized clowns in the area, that these are just some punks who are trying to go online and scare people, but the actual clowns of Philadelphia would never harm a child or a teacher and nobody.
Okay, so Scrapple, you and your organization are just having fun, and now somebody else is just trying to ruin it for
you. We're speaking out on behalf of clowns in the Philadelphia area, let you know.
I see.
That we're not responsible for these, and we're doing everything we can to cooperate with the cops and also COP and also the teachers and whatnot to try to make sure that everybody is safe. And everybody can still enjoy a good clown. Enjoy me. It's what I'm saying.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. You brought your tricks with you here.
How do you know that it's not just one of your clowns that has gone rogue?
Because I asked the guys.
How many are there?
In COP.
Yeah, in COP, which you should rename.
It's about 307 Philadelphia area clowns in the organization. So we had a big meeting. And we went out, we got some water ice, and we all sat around talking about it.
You got some what? I'm sorry.
Water ice. And we said, hey, any of you guys threatening schools? And nobody raised their hands.
Okay, well, so that's foolproof.
I said, if you bother a school, you're going to get a pie in the face. And so they know not to do it, because I'm not kidding around with that either.
Well. No, it doesn't sound like it. This has got to be very difficult for you guys to just make a living, because not everybody's,
It's bad enough, right? The people are already scared of clowns. Now they think we're, trying to murder schools and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that's why we're trying to get the word out. The clowns are still safe. And the worst that can happen, maybe, is a little seltzer in your face.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy? So... don't be scared of clowns is the message the COP is trying to put out there.
Okay, so pass it along.
If you got a birthday party or a bachelorette party and you want to, have entertainment.
Well, that's a bachelorette party and invites a clown.
Shut up, dude. I don't tell you how to do your job. Just try to get a little something, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, sorry.
Hey, can I make you guys balloon animal?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, why not?
Make you a balloon animal. Okay. Here.
I think he's banging.
Service here. That was pretty elaborate.
What the? How many pieces in this balloon animal?
There we go.
It's a big animal. What is that?
That's an eagle. Eagles. The only clowns around here are the cowboys, right? Go Eagles. See you guys later.
That's bogus. Thank you for calling. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. For Kevin and Beans, what's good?
Yeah, you can call us on any topic if you want. I just... 1-800-520-1067.
You weren't finished?
Anything on your mind? You got comments, you got questions, you got problems, you got something that you think the other listeners would be interested in hearing about. We want to hear from you. We'll take your calls. What's good? Coming up right after this on K-Rock. Michael Bisping, middleweight champion, I want to say, defending his title at UFC 204, is going to be joining us on the Kevin Bean Show later on this morning, and our friend comedian Eddie Ift will be here next hour as well. First, though, time for your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we can be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
I'm good.
Let's face it, you know a lot more about a lot of things than we do, so that's why we'd like to invite you in on the show. Why don't we start with Ernest? He's in Moreno Valley on line 2 to get us going this morning here on K-Rock.
Hey, Ernest.
How you doing, guy?
By the way, we haven't had to use our 10-second timer in a long time.
Yeah, people are starting to get the idea of how to tell a story.
If calls get boring, 10-second clock. All right, go ahead, Ernest.
All right, so my wife and I just moved to Moreno Valley, bought a house. We've lived there about 2 months now. And discovering that we move next to, I guess, addicts, meth addicts.
Oh, no.
Now, is this a guess?
Is this a guess? No, it's a certainty. There's one individual in particular who is pretty much up all day, every day, shouting to the top of his lungs, in the middle of the street, and he yells all their information. So from that, I've gathered that there are gang members in the house, say it's a meth house, and that he is some million-dollar producer.
And when did you... Oh, man. And when did you move in?
About 2 months ago.
Oh, that's the worst, because moving sucks so much.
Oh, yeah, and he just crashed into the... I live two houses from the corner house, and he crashed on the corner, like, curb yesterday. Any suggestions? I'm trying to...
Any suggestions?
I mean,
getting out.
Have you has anything been actionable in terms of the police being involved at all?
We've seen the police over there a few times, but they don't seem to do anything other than just talk to him, and then that's it. You know,
That's a tough one, man.
I'd say the only way to make it so that it doesn't bother you is to start doing crack.
Yeah,
if you can't be him, join him.
That's right. It's my tip.
Have you talked to your other neighbors that live around this house?
No, but I can see that they're all a little disturbed as well, and they just kind of keep to themselves.
Dude, you should have done a little more due diligence before you put down that check.
Yeah, I know. What do you
All right, so talk to your neighbors or do crack. That's our answer.
Those are your choices. Good luck to you. Thank you for calling.
Thank
wow,
you for
how
calling.
About that? That's rough.
That does suck.
Jessica, line one, please. She's all in right. Los Alamitos calling on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jessica.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are good. Thanks. What's good?
I just wanted to thank you for having the Strumbellas on a few weeks ago. They opened for the Cold War kids, and there were a ton of Kevin and Bean listeners there.
I got to tell you, I was very impressed with them. They were a lot of fun to interview, and they performed in the Red Bull Sound Space, and they were great. And I thought, man, everyone who's going to see that show that night with the Cold War kids is really in for a treat, because I think they're going to be surprised how good this band is.
Yeah, they were super fun, super personable, and they had made a joke about covering Modest Mouse's Float On.
Right, Float On, yeah. But the lead singer didn't know the words.
Yeah, he called it Float Up, so half of the audience was just requesting Float Up. So there was a strong Kevin and Bean following there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm so glad you had such a good time. And for folks who haven't checked out that Strumbellas album, you definitely should. It's really, really good. Thank you, Jessica. Appreciate that. Let's try Kyle Costa Mesa. He's on line four up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kyle.
What's going on, guys?
What's good?
Have you guys seen that commercial, the Hillary Clinton ad, and it's like I've got a voiceover of Donald Trump talking trash on women, and it's got like these clips of...
I fast forward through all political ads.
I can't stand political ads. I hate them so much.
Dude, and you know what? And I don't feel like you're ever going to learn anything from a political ad, because I feel like there's no way anything in any commercial from a candidate is going to be true.
Yeah, I know. They're pulling like voiceovers from like back in the 70s. And I don't know. I just think it's the funniest thing ever that's what it's kind of come to.
Yeah. Although the vice presidential debate last night was really golden. That was great, wasn't it? Did we get a lot of good information?
I suspect you didn't watch 1 second.
Not
of it,
one
Kevin.
Second. Nope.
No, me neither.
You didn't see it either, Kyle.
No.
All no, I know is I watched about the first 45 minutes of it, and it's just two white guys talking over each other, trying to outshout each other, saying opposite things from each other. It's just I've got no room in my brain for that anymore. I just don't.
Yeah.
This election
That's
has to happen today, and it has to be over. We have to be done with this.
This election cycle has been 10 years long.
It does feel like that.
And it may never end.
Kyle, great call.
That is what is going to run our country. Good luck.
Yes, you are correct. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Let's do Mike in L.A., please. Line 5.
All right. Hey, Mike.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks. What's good?
I want to call about South Park.
South Park.
It's the greatest season ever.
Wow. That is saying something for a show that is in its, what, 20th year?
Yes.
Hold on a second. Are you in line for something?
No, I'm out? At work.
What's that? Oh, you're at work.
Say it on the air. He just said it on the air. Kevin.
What's good?
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:51.
Got a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort Park Hopper passes for you, and you can be at K-Rock's private party at the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. People saying great things about that. You got your chance to win coming up. Details at KROQ.com. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning, boys and girls, children of all ages. Just want you to know, Halle Berry says she never had sex with Ric Flair. Just want you to know.
Woo! Mr. Flair was certainly suggesting that happened.
Woo! Halle Berry, woo! He said. Former pro wrestler Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, did stir up a hornet's nest when he announced on his radio show that he did have sex with Halle Berry after a divorce from David Justin. in Atlanta, Georgia.
Wrong.
Now, Halle Berry's rep is stepping forward and saying, that's not true. Her reps say Halle Berry has never even heard of him, let alone met him.
He says they went out on a date like to Disneyland or something, didn't he?
That's alleged.
He does, and he did.
And she hasn't heard of him,
she
though.
Says she doesn't even know who he is. So that's very different from saying we didn't even have sex, saying she doesn't even know who he is.
Right.
Woo! She knows that, right? She knows the nature boy? Nothing?
Maybe not.
Who do you believe? You make the call.
I don't know who to believe in this one.
All right, thanks for your input.
Probably him.
Back to you. He has a lot more to gain by people thinking he had sex with Halle Berry than she has to gain by admitting it. So I don't know. I can't. That's a tough one.
But if it is true, she would deny it. And if it isn't true, she would deny it.
Right.
So it's hard to say.
Yeah.
But does someone just make up, a celebrity? Do you just do that?
I mean, I guess. We should start doing that.
I think we should. I had sex with Brenda Bleffin.
Is that a celebrity?
Yeah, she's about a 70-year-old woman.
Okay. A British actress. Yeah. Not the best choice.
Good luck with that.
Not the best choice.
But I bet no one will challenge you on it.
Rachel McAdams.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was talking. Much better.
I got her on my brain because news this morning was announced that there's going to be a movie made on a very popular novel by an author named Naomi Alderman called Disobedience. The story is about a young woman who returns home after hearing of the death of her Orthodox Jewish and estranged father, and then she causes an upheaval in her family and community when she starts a love affair with her best friend, a woman who's also married to her cousin. So it is a lesbian,
wow.
A lesbian love story, a story of lesbian love that breaks all the rules.
Now, is married to cousin, is that considered incest, or is that not incest? Married to cousin.
No, I don't think this person is blood. God. The person who's married to the cousin.
The girl has an affair with a woman who is married to her cousin. The woman's
the girl's
cousin.
Oh, I see.
In the family.
Okay,
she
I
comes
was
back to
on
the
that.
Family,
right.
And there's her cousin. She sees her there at him there at the funeral.
Right.
And the woman that he's married to,
got it,
is her old friend, and they rekindle a love affair.
So no incest.
Oh my God.
All right, I'm clear.
Rachel McAdams.
I got a taco right here.
Yeah.
Right.
Rachel McAdams and Rachel Weisz will star.
All right.
So they're the couple.
Okay.
So that's the couple together.
So that's good.
That's the couple.
I am down with that.
That you will see.
What's the best tuna?
Are there the incest though? The marriage cousins? Are they are the girls' cousins too? I'm confused.
Speaking of confused, imagine how confused Kevin's going to be with The Current War. The new movie, The Current War.
The Current War.
Yes.
Not heard of this.
Oh, I cannot wait. One of my favorite stories of history. The battle for AC versus DC. Right, Kevin?
That sounds boring.
Thomas Edison, George Westinghouse, and Nikolai Tesla, of course. Edison was behind direct current as a power source. He wanted DC.
Sure.
Westinghouse was an AC guy. And the companies are trying to vie for which way to go because they're going to wire the world for electric power. They're literally deciding at this point, what direction will the world go from this point forward?
I can't wait for you.
I'm going to change the world.
I can't wait for you to see this and tell me about it.
Kevin, are you insane? This is one of the most important moments in technological history. The Current War. Edison, Westinghouse.
Right.
And Tesla. You know Tesla, Kevin.
Sure.
You know all about Tesla.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who of course came up with the Tesla automobile,
uh-huh.
And Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Right, though? That's strange to think about.
That is That's one of the all-timers right there.
Really, Kevin? Really? Really? Nikola Tesla invented the Tesla car? Really? Really?
You shut up.
Kevin, goddammit.
Really weird. Invented a car? You got a rap about him. I was confused.
Do we have Bean doing his impression of me? Can you put your hands on that quickly?
Bean does drunk Kevin?
Oh, man. When did this happen? A couple days ago? Yeah. You may be out of a job because this is Bean now doing an impression of me as drunk Kevin.
The pitcher woman was real. The pitcher woman was real.
The pitcher woman was real.
We had to take a second and go, wait, are you doing an impression of me drunk like Ralph does?
Oh, he's like young Fred Travellina.
The pitcher woman was real.
The pitcher woman was real.
It's like, you know, the scores of the football games on that thing by any chance?
It's Ben Affleck doing his drunk Kevin impression.
You know, the scores of the football games on that thing by any chance?
The pitcher woman was real.
The pitcher woman was real.
Sounds like a baby rapper. Today's celebrity birthdays. Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know why they call him deGrasse, right?
I don't think that's why he got his nickname.
It's how he got his nickname. Hey, it's deGrasse.
It's not a nickname.
Yeah, it is. He loves deGrasse. He loves deGrasse, man. That's why they nicknamed him that. Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's why he sees all those space things, man. He's got expanded consciousness. He's 58 years old. Guy Pearce is 49. Kate Winslet, another Aussie star, although she's British, right?
I think so.
Guy Pearce is Australian. Kate Winslet's a Brit. She's 41 years old. Jesse Eisenberg's 33.
Yes.
Anybody? You on board with him?
Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah. Not good as Luther, though, right? That wasn't good.
No, he was not good as Luther at all.
Right. We can agree on that.
Yeah.
The picture woman is real.
The picture woman was real.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Carolla on the program later on today. Also, comedian Eddie Eft will be here, and we'll talk to the middleweight UFC champ, Michael Bisping. That is all coming up on K-Rock.
Right now, it's time for People Are Dumb.
People are dumb.
A Maryland man posing as a police officer turned his lights and sirens on behind a real police officer and tried to pull him over.
not good judgment.
John Vincent Angelini, 51 years old, of Baltimore, was driving Wednesday. He was trailing an off-duty detective. The detective was driving, and then this guy pulled up along beside him in a Ford Crown Victoria that looked like an unmarked police car. The driver of the Crown Victoria then slowed and got right behind the cop, so the cop thought, okay, well, for some reason he's pulling me over, so the cop pulled over, and then the guy just sped on with his lights on and his siren. So then the cop that pulled over pulled him over and arrested him for impersonating a police officer.
Sure.
So the message here is, if you're going to fake being a police officer, maybe don't pull over a police officer.
The vehicle had multiple antennas on top and just had the look of a police car.
The detective thought the vehicle was an undercover police car, just like his, at first. Then, when the Crown Victoria pulled around the detective's car, he realized something wasn't just right.
The detective felt like he was being pulled over, began to reduce his speed, and pulled over to the side of the road, at which point the Crown Victoria abruptly changed lanes again and sped past him and continued on eastbound on the ICC.
The detective then activated his lights and siren and pulled over the Crown Victoria. Behind the wheel, 51-year-old John Angelini.
By activating a siren, he represented his vehicle as an emergency vehicle. And he's not authorized to do that.
He had a siren. He had a loudspeaker. He had several antennas.
He would have gotten away with it if he hadn't hit the lights.
Right, if he hadn't hit the lights.
He'd just driven on by.
Well, behind the other one. Yeah, the other guy would never have known that.
I wonder what the draw is to pretend to be a police officer out on the roads. I mean, what is it you're there? Are you some sort of vigilante who thinks that he is going to be able to pull over and scare people who they see doing things they don't think are...
I don't know. Does his age make any difference? Because if the guy was 22, you'd think drunk. Guy was 51.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a rich fantasy life in his own head.
Yes. Next up is a woman with active warrant shoving her ID up her vagina during a traffic stop. This happened in Florida.
Of course it did.
As all bad stories do. A Miami woman was arrested over the weekend. She was riding in a vehicle that was pulled over in connection with a hit and run. She wasn't even the driver. But according to the arrest report, the police discovered the passenger, whose name is Takara Nodden, 28, had an active warrant out for operating a vehicle without a valid driver's license. Mm-hmm. So when she got pulled over, she hid her license in her vagina. Then she got to the police station. She said, by the way, my ID's in my vagina. So they did an X-ray. And they confirmed that she had a foreign object in her vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And they started taking her to the hospital, which is where apparently they take stuff out.
That's where they do the extractions.
On the way out, while she was leaving the jail, she squatted and peed in public.
Oh.
She was then taken to the hospital and then taken back to jail and charged with a warrant, as well as additional charge of indecent exposure in public.
She didn't make a lot of good choices that day.
Correct, yes. This is a guy who was driving in the carpool lane, and he didn't have a second person. But what he did have was a cutout of Donald Trump. Now, it wasn't a normal size cutout like you would think, the size of a person.
Mm-hmm.
To fake out a cop, to think that maybe there were two people in it. The size of his head was one of those gigantic ones that they hold up at a rally. So his neck was on the seat, and his head was like hitting the top of the car.
Well, that's not going to fool anyone.
I don't understand exactly how that happened, but he was pulled over, and he was fined $136. Previous busts, they say, in this police station have included a driver's use of a zombie baby in the passenger seat, as well as a cutout of the so-called most interesting man in the world from those commercials from Dos Equis.
Look, you do everything you can to get a little bit of an advantage in the HOV lane.
This guy wants advantage in life. Bodybuilder with 23-inch biceps risks life by injecting oil into his muscles to look like the Incredible Hulk.
What kind of oil?
Dangerous oil that may kill him.
Oh, my God.
That's what they say. They didn't exactly say what it is. But this guy, who is 48 years old, had 12-inch arms. When he was a kid, he was so skinny that they used to call him Skinny Dog and Little Skull. I got to be honest, Little Skull, I sort of like.
I think that's a pretty cool name.
This guy didn't like it at all. So he had 12-inch arms. He doubled his arms in size from 12 inches after he began injecting a potentially lethal oil substance 5 years ago. Now he has 23-inch arms, and they're not big enough. He wants to keep going bigger. He says, they call me Hulk, Schwarzenegger, and He-Man, and I like that.
With whatever years he has left, he
Correct.
Will enjoy that.
And finally, here is a woman who came home to find that her house had been robbed, everything was taken, and a couple was having sex on her couch.
It is absolutely horrible in there. It's like they just, you know, had a big old nasty party.
Jamie Barnes was surprised to see her front door open after being away for a few days.
Her front door was open.
Yeah, that's not what you want to see when you get home.
And they were having sex on the couch.
But that shock was quickly topped by what was going on inside the house on Devant Street in South Memphis.
Walk in and they're having sex on my couch. I pick up my broom.
All right, now she picks up her broom. They're having sex. What do you think the guy says? The guy says something in defense of himself.
He says, hey, we're not finished?
I want to hit that man so bad.
She says the man yelled, I don't know nothing. Oh.
That's all he yelled.
That is not convincing, sir. You're in my home.
I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing.
Over and over, while the woman tried to cover up.
Now, the woman grabbed this woman's dress, her own clothing that she hadn't stolen yet. Maybe there was one dress left.
She tried to grab one of my dresses and put it on. I just snatched it from her. What you finna do?
She says the man went running. She tried to follow him, but stopped when he reached an alley.
Plus, he don't know nothing.
He don't know nothing.
Why chase him? Right, exactly.
Barnes was arrested for aggravated burglary. Barnes says the couple she saw stripped naked also stripped her house.
And they ransacked my house and stole all my stuff. Jewelry, appliances, clothes.
Here's my favorite part. They had bins. Those giant bins to take stuff out of her house.
So they had already ransacked her home and loaded up the van or something and then decided before they left to go back in? Okay, so when they got away, the stuff was already out of the house.
Right, right. But they needed to bang one out before they left.
Sure.
Her neighbor said someone spotted the couple taking bins of clothing out of the house and even trying to sell some of Jamie's jewelry.
Hey, neighbor, how about saying something?
Right. If you see something, say something.
Crazy. Stop this.
That's a great first-person interview.
You never think something like that will happen. They getting too bold.
Barnes says she was already planning on moving, but yesterday's crime expedited the process.
And I don't feel comfortable at this house. So.
Well, I think that's probably
but
the
But as a favor
right
to her, she has so much less stuff to move. So it all worked out.
It makes it a lot easier.
Dumb.
If you see a guy driving next to you that looks a little bit like comedian Eddie Ift, let him by if you wouldn't mind.
we were kind of expecting Eddie about now, right?
Yeah.
He's on his way. He'll be here.
Pretty much about 5 minutes ago. So, yeah.
Hey, Bermond.
Hey, Bean.
How's married life?
It's fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Feel any different?
I like feel like a man, man. Like a married man.
You happy with that?
No.
Are you still married?
Yes, of course. Why
Don't
would
be
you
ridiculous,
think? Why would you think otherwise?
Why would you think otherwise?
Because it's well known that the first week is the hardest.
Is that well known?
Really? That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's science.
Look, I just want to make this very, very clear because we're about to embark on a phone topic here, and I am concerned that Beer Mug is going to think that his recent wedding to K-Rock's own Nicole Alvarez is the reason we're doing this phone topic, and it is not. I want to make sure it's very clear that everybody understands this has nothing to do with our confidence in your ability to stay married forever.
You understand that, right, Muggs?
So yeah.
What we're about to say next is in no way connected to you.
Getting married on Saturday.
Okay, I will accept that.
All right.
In other words, we don't have an office pool where more than half of us don't think you'll last a year. No, what I'm saying is
that's not happening. Okay. That's not happening. You shouldn't be mad at us because we didn't do that.
Because we didn't do that.
You're good people.
Think you're going to be married until whatever murder-suicide happens to end your marriage.
Jesus.
That's what we think.
Till death do you part in the next five years.
However, sometimes it just doesn't work out. And I have a great deal of sympathy for anybody who makes that decision to pull the trigger on a marriage because it's hard. It's the last thing anybody wants to do. When you walk down that aisle and exchange those vows, in your mind, for the most part, most people plan on being married forever. But it just doesn't always work out that time. So we want to hear from our listeners about the shortest amount of time they have been married. Because it is fascinating to see how quickly after the happiest day of your life, things can fall apart, right?
Unrelated to you, Muggs.
Of course,
unrelated
guys.
Yes. Right. So 1-800-520-1067. For instance, a few years ago, it was Kim Kardashian who married Chris Humphries, the basketball player. They were married for 72 days, remember?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And at the time, we thought, if you get a divorce after 72 days, how far into the marriage do you start to realize you've got real problems?
Yeah, because I don't know what the official number is, but I would guess 50% of the way you're already doubting it or maybe having extreme problems. Like, you don't usually pull that trigger right away.
Exactly, yeah. You usually go, hey, there's a reason we got married. We're young and in love. Let's try to work it out. But if you can't last 72 days, you got problems.
Who's got 72 days in the office pool?
Oh, this is unrelated to you.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with you.
In 1994.
No one gave you that many days, by the way, in the pool that we don't have.
In 1994, and I had forgotten about this, Drew Barrymore got married to a 32-year-old Welshman in the L.A. bar that he owned. She had known him for only 6 weeks. They got married at 5 a.m., one day, after consulting a psychic hotline.
Yes!
Which is how all good decisions are made.
Yes.
They filed for divorce 39 days later. That would last 39 days.
That's nothing, though, right? Is the standard bearer Britney Spears?
Britney Spears is the champ.
She's the reigning champ, right?
She went to Las Vegas, and if I recall correctly, she somehow reconnected with a childhood friend named Jason Alexander, and they decided to get married and probably had the greatest weekend of their lives. That first 55 hours must have been great.
I don't know.
Before
See,
they called it off.
Because they called it off at 55 hours. So maybe they were already having trouble at like 23.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. The shortest amount of time people were married is what we're talking about here today. Let's not forget Allie Landry. Remember her? Former Miss USA, if I recall correctly. She was married to Mario Lopez, and then it was revealed that he had cheated on her at his bachelor party before the wedding. She filed for divorce 2 weeks after they got married.
He's lucky she waited 2 weeks.
2 weeks after she got married, they filed for divorce. Again, it's just the last thing in the world you expect is going to happen when you get when you walk down that aisle. And finally, Lisa Marie Presley. Do you remember her famous short-lived marriages, Kevin?
Was it to Michael Jackson?
She was married to Michael Jackson. That one lasted 20 months, a year and 8 months. Then she got married to Nicolas Cage.
Oh, right.
10 days after he proposed in 2002, that marriage lasted just 3 months and change. 108 days is all the Nicolas Cage marriage lasted. So that's two marriages that lasted both less than 2 years for Lisa Marie Presley. So maybe not everybody should get married.
So we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Muggs, you go in the other room, take the calls.
Okay.
And while you're talking to them, I want you to remind yourself that this has nothing to do with you.
Got it.
At all.
I don't know what you mean. I mean, yes, I do know what you mean.
Is that you trying to play along?
Yes.
Okay, stop it.
Well.
Go answer the phones. 1-800-520-1067.
Not that it has anything to do with Beer Mug getting married over the weekend. Nothing at all. But we are talking about the shortest amount of time that people were married. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, you might not remember this, but when Donna and I eloped all those years ago, after only knowing each other for 5 months, there was an office pool here at K-Rock about how long our marriage was going to last, too.
Yeah.
And I think the longest anyone had was something less than 2 years.
Right.
If I remember correctly.
But you've been separated for like 20. So you don't even fight because they're not in the same place.
Well, I haven't seen her in a number of years, if that's what you're asking.
You don't ever vacation together.
Right, but technically the marriage has lasted because we are still married.
Technically, yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Looking for your calls with your stories. Why don't we start with line two, please? This is going to be Diego. He's in Whittier. Let's find out what's up.
Hey, Diego.
Hey, man. I was married for a total of 2 years to the day.
2 years.
2 years to the day. So how about our theory that you wait at least half the time after it starts getting bad to get divorced? So like at a year, did you know?
No, I probably knew. She went back to work that Monday after our wedding.
Okay.
I was kind of like, oh, okay, no time for us. And then.
Wait. Didn't you know that before you married her, though? I mean, didn't you discuss a honeymoon?
Yeah, but I thought that. I had it said, and apparently it wasn't said. She went back to work.
So it was a surprise to you that she went back to work on the Monday after your wedding?
Not much of a surprise, but kind of like, hey, I thought we talked about getting a little getaway. Maybe not a full-on, you know, honeymoon, but
right.
Like a little something about that. And then but okay. I think it was really over, or maybe like the beginning over, when she was 8 months pregnant, and I decided to go to the Linkin Park 30 Seconds to Mars concert on her birthday.
Well, I can't say she made the wrong choice,
but I can't say you made the wrong choice.
It was a great show. It was a great show.
Okay, well, that's what matters. That's what matters. All right, Diego, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jesse, please. Hacienda Heights, line one. Up next on the Kevin Beach Show. It's a shame those kids didn't make it.
Right? Jesse, hi.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. We're talking about the shortest amount of time you were married. Having nothing to do with Beer Mug, who just got married.
Because, again, they will last forever.
Right.
No, well, this is more my cousin. I've never been married. I've been smart enough not to get married.
Okay.
Now, she got married. 1 week later, already filing for divorce.
1 week?
And once the divorce was finalized, she was already remarried at the courthouse with another guy.
Wow. Okay. All right.
So did she already have the other guy going?
I guess so, when she was working at a Walmart. So I was like, oh, well, that's perfect.
But wait a minute. Hold on a second. Why did she marry the first guy if she already had the backup guy ready to go?
Well, I guess because the first guy she needed longer. And the funny thing was, with the road kicker, was she got married the first time after her husband or her previous fiancé was incarcerated.
Okay. And what episode of Jerry Springer did the family appear on?
Oh, you know what? I wish I was still around so I could have sent her.
Your cousin is magical.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Kylie Valencia, line three, please.
All right. Hey, Kylie.
Hey, guys.
Talking to us.
This is something else.
This is something else. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was married for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, did you know going into the wedding that this was a bad idea? Did you have a bad feeling? Or did you honestly think, even though you know the statistics are pretty much 50-50, that you would make it?
I honestly thought it was going to be perfect. We were going to live forever.
That's so even worse.
So what happened? Did something catastrophic happen in that first 14 days?
Yeah, because we didn't have our honeymoon like right after the wedding. We waited a week.
Not that this has anything to do with what you're saying, but Beer Mug is waiting for his honeymoon as well and is at work right now.
Oh, no!
But that's unrelated. That's completely unrelated.
All right. Well, no. Look, you're young and in love and you just got married. You certainly should be able to survive putting off the honeymoon. What was the real problem?
So we're getting ready to go to the honeymoon, and he keeps his passport in his safe. That's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the safe to grab his passport so I could put it with mine and get everything ready. And there was another woman's passport in the safe.
Okay.
And so what was his explanation for that?
Was yours in there as well, or was it just his and hers?
It was his and hers. Mine was in my own separate safe.
That's pretty sweet.
Okay.
Wow.
So he didn't even try to deny it. He got caught red-handed.
After 2 weeks?
Yep.
And what was his explanation? I mean, this was a girl that he had continued to see the whole time you guys were dating and engaged and then married?
Apparently so. I said, has she been around this whole time? And he's like, yeah.
Wow.
Did it bother to tell me? He said, no.
Huh.
So now you're uptight.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
Oh, I see.
I think
okay.
We're saying she made the right move.
Made the right call.
That's
yes, right,
that's
call.
What we meant, yeah.
Thank you, Kylie. Appreciate that. Wow, this is something else. All right, let's try Sam Glendale. This may be one of the greatest, hey, let's get divorced stories I've ever heard, if it turns out to be what I think it is.
Hey, Sam.
Hi. So I'm a limo driver, and the distance from the church to the banquet hall, which is maybe about a quarter mile, the couple had a fight and decided to break up.
Yeah! Wait. So you were taking them from the wedding ceremony where they said, I do,
to the
reception.
Exactly, from the church to the reception, and it was just them in the car, and they decided to break up in the distance of about
now,
a quarter mile.
I have to think that there's been a lot of fighting going on leading up to that wedding. Like, both of them were probably unhappy, even when they were
probably.
At the altar.
Yeah, all I know is
could you hear what they were yelling about?
What's up?
Did you hear what they were yelling about?
No, I had the partition up.
Put it down. What's wrong with you?
So I wonder what that was like when they emerged from the limo to walk into the reception, and there is everybody ready to party, and they what? Do you think they just get up in front of the crowd and make an announcement that we've changed our minds?
They had to be separated.
They had to be separated. Did she go drinking with a bunch of friends and make him clean up?
Probably. I mean, I think that has to be the record.
A
quarter of a mile after the ceremony.
That's changing your mind and deciding to divorce within, it's got to be within a half an hour of getting married, right?
Wow.
Oh, no, not less. I'm talking maybe 5 minutes.
All right.
That's fantastic. All right,
we have a winner.
Thank you, Sam.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
So you get married, and then you break up in the limo on the way to the reception.
Yeah.
There's no easy way to spin that to the friends and family that have assembled, right?
I would guess.
Bar's open.
Yeah, that's bar's open. That's all you need to say.
Bar's open.
I would guess they all knew by that point. I mean, let's be honest.
You don't break up in the limo without having a few tiffs throughout the courtship, I would guess.
Right.
Maybe people bring it up during the wedding. You know, maybe say, sure, you two have fought like cats and dogs, but now we think you got a shot. Now I think you guys are going to overcome it.
It's a terrible thing to bring up during. You said during the wedding?
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea.
Maybe even during the vows. Oh. Maybe somebody would say, you two sure have battled it out, and there's a lot of scar tissue, but now we think you guys have conquered your demons.
I don't think anyone would add that into the
And
accent.
Now you're on your way, and things,
ceremony.
It all looks sunny from here. Future so bright, here are some shades for you two. Maybe someone would say that during the wedding.
Hey, the champion in the UFC. In the
we are the champion,
Michael Bisping,
my
joins
friend.
Us. Coming up right after the top of the hour, he, of course, is going to be fighting
and
this Saturday
we'll
night.
Keep on fighting
right,
till the end.
Right. 204. Ralph is here now. Time for the show.
He is the champion.
On Wednesday morning.
He is the champion.
Okay. Good. Excellent.
Yes! There's some fun this Saturday at the K-Rock Brewfest, right?
Yeah!
Brewfest. Usually they give me a list of the K-Rock personalities that will be at the Brewfest. They haven't included it in this particular announcement here.
Fantastic.
So I'm not sure who's going to be there, but I think, Chip, are you going to be there?
I will be there.
And I think Beer Mug's going to be there, won't he?
Yes.
Fantastic.
And his new bride, Nicole Alvarez, I believe she'll be there.
And Omar.
And Omar and Dave, I think, King of Mexico. Lightning.
Striker.
Oh, it's a cornucopia. of your favorite radio personalities.
It's everybody that's allowed.
It's everybody that wants to be there and more. It's happening Saturday, 11 a.m. is when the gates open at Santa Anita. You know Santa Anita, just east of Pasadena there in beautiful Arcadia, California. You got races, you got booze, 40 different microbrews, a ton of food trucks. Nothing but fun.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
And, by the way, the K-Rock team is going to be there giving away a trip for two to the Voodoo Fest Music Festival in New Orleans, Louisiana. That's for Halloween weekend. Go and have a great day. Great day at the Brew Fest, and then also leave with a trip to New Orleans.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. So let me give you a little something-something for your troubles. If you'd like to go, a four-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Brew Fest this Saturday. Includes four tickets, two drink vouchers per guest, a racing program. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers who get through with that phone number will get a four-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Brew Fest. And if you're thinking of going this Saturday, you can get all the details at krock.com.
Go for the butt.
Don't go for the butt. Go for the Brew Fest. Stay for the butt. That's what I always say.
I've heard you say it a thousand times.
Hey, do you like Gilmore Girls?
Very much.
Do you like coffee?
Yes.
Well, you're in luck. Because today, Luke's Diner is open. What does that mean, you may ask, if you don't know Gilmore Girls? Well, that's Luke's Diner. That's the diner that Luke had in the show.
Right.
Right?
And so they're opening it?
Well, they're having these little pop-up coffee shops around the country to celebrate the return of Gilmore Girls on Netflix.
I just don't care at all.
So you can go to a little pop-up replica Luke's Diner.
We don't care. Dude, we don't care.
You go there?
We don't care.
Go there.
Don't care. It's don't care. It's like don't care.
But it's like being in Stars Hollow.
Is it?
Yes.
Like that?
If you want to check out a Luke's Diner near you, it's at the Fox Coffee House on Willow Street in Long Beach today. The Commoncy Coffee House on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City. And also the Commoncy Coffee Shop on Bedford in Beverly Hills. So if you're a big fan of Gilmore Girls, you can go there and you can just pretend like you're living the dream right there in the middle of Stars Hollow and just be there. Just be all Gilmore-y.
Nope.
What do you have to lose?
Good point.
That's what I'm saying. Green Day.
Green Day.
It's going to be headlining the fifth annual British Summertime Concert in London's Hyde Park. It will be happening in the summertime.
Oh, okay.
2017, July 1st. Event always sells out. Here's your lineup. Green Day. So far, that's all we know.
Okay.
But still, it's going to be quite a show.
Okay. It's not much of a lineup.
Over the past 4 years, they've had the biggest names headlining it. Rolling Stones, Stevie Wonder, The Who, Taylor Swift. Have all been
there.
I
went to the Taylor summertime show.
Wow. It's a fun time.
You go from zero to hateable so quickly. Does he really, though? Hey, Rob, he's always traveling around 40 hateable miles per hour.
Let me PS to your Green Day story.
Oh, please PS.
To remind everybody that the band is going to be here at K-Rock on Friday afternoon.
What?
Starting
what?
At 5 o'clock. Revolution Radio is what they're calling it. And Billy Joe and Trey Cool and Mike Dern are going to be taking over K-Rock, playing whatever they want for a full hour from 5 until 6 o'clock in celebration of their album coming out that day, Revolution Radio, available Friday.
Billy Joel's going to be here? I don't understand why he would want to participate.
Billy Joe
if
Armstrong.
It's a Green Day themed
from Green Day
radio hour, I can't imagine. Oh, here comes the piano man. Who wants to hear him? I'd rather hear the guys from Green Day.
We're talking about Green Day. Billy Joe Armstrong is going to be here along with the band. Again, 5 o'clock Friday if you want to hear them on K-Rock taking over the airwaves.
Well, there you go. Good time to be alive.
Right?
You got Luke's Diner opening up. You got Green Day on the radio. It's a magical time. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jesse Eisenberg is 33 years old today. Now you see him. Now you don't. Love that movie. Kate Winslet, 41 years old today. Guy Pearce, very talented actor, is 49. He's Memento, right? Guy Pearce, Memento?
Yes, he certainly is.
Yeah. Remember that, Kevin?
I remember
that. Guy's memory was so bad, he had to tattoo stuff all over his body.
No, I don't remember that. And as you mentioned earlier, L.A. Confidential, one of the all-time great movies. He was tremendous in that.
You should think about that, Kevin. Maybe tattoo like key card on your forearm. So as you wake up in the morning, you just look at your forearm and go, oh, that's right. I need a key card
that would help me
to get into my building where I work.
But then I would also have to put the address
of work.
Well, so I'd run out of space pretty quickly.
A lot of skin. There's a lot of room.
And where your keys are, which car is yours.
Right.
Yeah. Or maybe we just start cutting pockets into your skin. So you just put, like, the key card in your arm and your keys, like, in your stomach, and you could just always have it.
I like it.
I do, too. And Neil deGrasse Tyson celebrates his 58th birthday today. Who am I? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We should have those guys in to sing, right?
I think they just here. Weren't they here? Didn't they just come in?
Sound space? We could put them in there and just have them perform live during the show?
Super recently?
I feel like that'd be cool.
Hey, oh, he's on the phone?
Yes.
Oh, this is very exciting. UFC 204, kids, is happening this Saturday night on pay-per-view like they do. Our guest on the phone, Michael Bisping, is not only the UFC middleweight champion. He is going for history this weekend to become the winningest fighter in UFC history, going for his 20th win in the octagon. No pressure there. Mr. Bisping, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, sir. Thank you very much. You know, when you fight in an octagon and somebody's trying to take your head clean off your shoulders, there's always pressure. So
yes.
Nothing has changed, my friend.
Yes, I guess that's true. Are you in England already? You're already there for training and for the fight?
Yeah, that's right. I'm here in Manchester. The sun is shining. The fight's happening at 5 a.m. local time. So we're catering to the U.S. pay-per-view audience. So I just got out of bed. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon here. I just got out of bed. I'm adjusting my time zone. I'm having breakfast and talking to you guys.
We wanted to ask you about that because we saw that it was 7 p.m. local time here on the West Coast in the United States, which means that the fights start at 3 a.m. in your fight. Like you say, it doesn't get started till 5. So you adjust your entire schedule for how long?
Well, I came out here a week before, but I live in California. So all I do is come out here. It's fine to stay on California time, really. So, you know, it's a little boring because, you know, we're getting out of bed, as I say, at 4 a.m. and we're staying awake until 5 a.m., 6 a.m., something like that. So, you know, there's not much going on. It gets a little boring, but we've got to do it. In terms of fighting at that time, you know, I've got to be honest, it won't be the first time I've had a fight at 3 a.m. So, you know what I mean? When I was younger, I've had a few beers and got into a few brawls at 3 a.m. So I've got experience at this, no problem.
Okay. What is it like for you as UFC's first ever British champion, even just to walk around the streets in Manchester? I would imagine they are insane for you, Michael.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, you know, it's great. You know, I always wanted to achieve that goal. And, yeah, I did it, you know. So I'm very happy with that. I'm proud of myself. But, you know, ultimately, nothing changes. You know, I'm still a family man, looking after my wife and my three children, trying to do the best job I can. And, yeah, you know, being a champion is nice. It's great. You know, it brings a few extra perks with it. But as I say, I'm still the same person.
Now, UFC 100 was the last time you fought Dan Henderson, and he knocked you out, and that's been publicized quite widely and has been shown quite a lot. Does that inspire you any?
Yeah, I think you picked the right word. I mean, because a lot of people, when they bring that up, they say, does that worry you? Does it get into your mind? Does it affect your psyche? And the answer is no, it doesn't. You picked the correct word. It inspires me. It inspires me to train harder, and it inspires me to go out there and get revenge and pay him back. Dan's an incredibly tough guy. He really is. You know, he's got that one-punch knockout power. He can truly turn anybody's lights off with one shot. That's why he's exciting. But I don't think he's going to land it. I think I'm too fast, and I pack a decent punch myself, as Luke Rockhold found out at UFC 199 when I knocked him out and took the belt. So
right.
I'm going to avoid that big right hand of Dan Henderson. I'm going to knock him silly.
Now, some of the other fighters are complaining a little bit because Dan Henderson is ranked 13th and he's getting a shot at you. What about the people above him in the rankings? Are they upset?
Well, the people above him in the rankings couldn't fight the way out of a wet paper bag. As I said, Dan Henderson can actually knock anybody out with one shot. I just knocked out the guy that's number one in the rankings. I just knocked him out in 3 minutes cold.
Right.
So, you know. So they just need to get a grip, win some fights. The thing is, they're all coming off losses. That's the problem, you know. I beat Lou Rockhold, Chris Wyman got beat off Rockhold, Jack Ray got beat off Yoel Romero, and Yoel Romero is serving a suspension for steroids. So they could only be mad at themselves. So we had to dig a little deeper. We found Dan Henderson. He knocked out Hector Lombard on the same night as I won the title. There's history there. This guy can knock anybody out in one shot. So, you know, there's a storyline, there's history. The fans want it. So here we are, 5 days away, 3 days away.
We are talking to Michael Bisping, the UFC middleweight champion of the world, here on the World Famous KROQ about UFC 204, which is going to be this Saturday night from Manchester, England, on pay-per-view. Your coach said the other day that you are just now peaking as a fighter at 37 years old, which would seem to fly in the face of just physics. Being a 37-year-old, is it possible you're fighting better than you've ever fought before, or is he just was he just talking you up a little bit, Michael?
No, I think he's absolutely right. I'm definitely peaking as a fighter. I get the you guys being cynical. You know, a coach should say those things, but I really am peaking because physically, you know, listen, physically you don't peak at 37, but mentally I'm peaking. Now, of course, fighting is a very physical sport, but mentally there's a huge mental side to fighting. If the mind isn't right, and the body won't perform to the best of its ability. Unfortunately, Jason Perillo, my coach, has said that he's done a great job of getting me to handle my emotions, to calm down, and just really bring out the best in myself. So, you know, physically, I still feel very, very good, but mentally, I'm better than I've ever been.
I want to ask you about mentally, because you knocked out the former champion Luke Rockhold in the first round. I know that you plan for that and you hope for that and you expect that, but when it happens, are you a little bit surprised?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, you predict that, but when John McCarthy dragged me off his cold, dead corpse on the floor, I was a little shocked. Like, you know, I turned around and said to the camera, I said, wow, that was easy. I didn't expect to be that easy. Now, Dan Henderson's a tough guy. I'm not expecting an easy road to victory, but I am confident to get the job done. And I'll give you a prediction right now. Rounds one and two, I pick him apart. I bloody his nose. I take the gas out of him. He's just tired and winded. And then round three, I go in for the kill. So there's your prediction. Put your money on it. Bet the house on me. It's a safe bet.
Okay, so in round one and two, if you've got a clear shot, you're not going to take it?
Yeah, well, listen, Dan Henderson's still dangerous with that right hand. But listen, I'm going to take clear shots, but I'm going to be cautiously aggressive.
Okay.
Because he's looking for that knockout shot every single time. Every single time he has caught right by his face, and he throws it. Anytime you come near him, he throws that right hand with bad intentions. So I've got to be careful.
All right.
And listen, he knocked me out once before. You know, he could do it again. Odds on, he won't.
All right. I want to ask you one final question, champ, and that is, I saw you say the other day that here you are at 37 years old and you just now realize that you have been overtraining for every UFC fight you've ever had until this one. You finally have figured out the sweet spot is only to train for 2 weeks, which is kind of the opposite of what every other fighter in the game is doing. What do you mean by that?
No, I don't think the thing is to only train 2 weeks, but I think the thing is, people do these 8-week-long training camps. Now, in boxing, that's okay. But in mixed martial arts, we've got so many different disciplines. We've got boxing, we've got kickboxing, we've got wrestling, we've got jiu-jitsu. We have our sparring sessions, we do our running. We have strength and conditioning coaches. We run sprints. There's so many different things to do. And MMA fights, craft, all these different styles in. You know, so they end up having multiple workouts per day. And the body can only take so much. I took that fight on 2 weeks' notice. I went in there feeling fresh as daisy. You know, you look after yourself, you exercise discipline, you eat well, you sleep well, you know, you try not to drink too much, and you know, you try and live the life of an athlete. Listen, I like a beer just as much as anyone, or a glass of wine and whatnot, you know. And, you know, you got to enjoy yourself here and there, but generally exercise some discipline, and then just ramp it up for a month before fight time.
All right. Well, the beers are definitely going to be flowing around 6 a.m. on Sunday morning in Manchester after you win the fight. It's UFC 204 Bisping versus Henderson 2. You can get it on pay-per-view, and you don't have to doubt that we will. So great to talk to you, champ. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Was that a song from 1978 that we just played?
You're missing the point.
What's the point?
I just, hey, you didn't care.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. Hey, look, it's Eddie F to you guys.
Hey,
hi, Eddie.
Hey.
Eddie is playing the Hollywood Improv this Friday night at 10. Tickets available at improv.com. Just $15, 18 and up. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderfully. I'm
alive. You look very well rested, like you got a lot of sleep last night and into this morning.
A lot of sleep, always. I've got a baby that figured out how to climb out of a crib.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Let me look at my schedule here. 7:15,
Eddie F.
Oh,
to be here.
Really?
Really?
I'm sorry.
Hang on,
sorry.
Let me make a note. 8:26.
How are you guys? How do you do it?
We don't have the time. I don't have the time.
You're late?
I'm late a lot, yeah. You get used to it.
Do you do this every day? No, I did morning radio in New York City.
Right.
And I had to be on the air at 6 a.m.
Okay, so you got used to it.
I had to be at the studio at about 4:30 or 4 or 5, something like that.
And right.
As I got closer to being fired, it was like 5:59,
that's sort of
6:05.
That's where I am right now,
yeah,
I think.
Okay. But I remember... And I would do stand-up every night till like 2 in the morning.
Oh, see, that's brutal.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was at the Irvine Improv last night and didn't get out of there till late, drove home. I live up north and had to come back down here. So it's a tough life. But but when I was doing radio in New York City, I remember I had to be there at 6 a.m. And I remember one day I woke up at like 7:30.
Oh.
And my alarm clock was set to my station.
Right.
So all it was them going... Eddie, where are you?
That's pretty sweet.
Wake up.
That's pretty sweet.
Eddie.
We actually have a rule here where if you sleep in, you do not get that call. No one calls you.
Because it's funnier the later you wake
up. It's so much worse. It's so much worse for you if you wake up at 7:30 rather than 6:30.
That's so true.
It's terrible. So that's our rule.
There's a point where, like, when you're 5 minutes late, it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to shower. When you're an hour and a half late, it's, I'm fired.
You're right. Plus, well, now you've got all the traffic, so it's going to be another hour and a half before you get there.
Yeah.
I like to think that Kevin has listened to his own morning show driving in more than any other host in America.
You'd like to think that because you're not aware that I'm listening to my iPod.
Oh, that's right. You're not even listening to your own show.
Right.
Eddie, you and Kevin were having a conversation right before the song ended about doctors.
Yes.
Because Kevin had a doctor's appointment yesterday. And you were saying how you don't trust doctors. So you think that you go to a physician and you pay a guy to what? Give you bad advice?
Here's my problem.
Okay.
I drink with people. And so
I don't see a problem so far.
I've learned don't drink with doctors or pilots.
Why?
Both of which I've drank with, because they tell you stories that you're like, and then you did what? Yeah, I left the scalpel in the guy, you know, or, you know, and one, you know, we figure, oh, we forgot to take off with enough gasoline in the plane, you know, and you're like, what? I don't know if planes have gasoline. I don't know what kind of
they do.
They use,
they do. But in other words, there's some occupations you'd rather not hear the behind the scenes
mechanism.
Exactly.
So I have a Band-Aid on my head because they took mole / skin cancer. They don't know. They don't think so, but they took the whole thing out.
Right.
And maybe part lobotomy. It feels like I got shot in the head.
They drilled.
Feels like I have a bullet in my head right
did
now.
Did they knock you out for this?
No, of course not.
Okay.
No, but they numb it, so it's no big deal until the numbness wears off.
Okay,
and then you go, wow, I feel like I have a bullet in my head.
Well, I have a good friend that's a doctor.
I did try to talk him into putting a bullet in. We were having a conversation, and he's like, sometimes, you know, when you're a kid and you get gravel in your knee or something, you just leave it in. Every once in a while, I'll see a bullet wound, and it's not doing any harm, so you leave it in. So I said, can you put a spent bullet in my head so that I have a better story? And he's like,
so you
no,
look like
that's
a badass.
That's stupid.
Like every time you go through security in the airport, you look like a badass.
Yeah, I got a bullet in
your brain.
In my forehead.
That would be a...
Come on!
That would be a good story.
He didn't see the magic.
It would also get you put into a mental institution.
Maybe, but I don't think so because I could just say, you know, that would be my explanation, you know.
Well, the Band-Aid, I got to get a picture with you with the Band-Aid on your head.
Yeah, because it's beautiful, right?
It's amazing. Yeah.
Every time I laugh, I feel like I'm going to fall over and faint. So,
and just know
good
this,
times.
I was with a kidney specialist who's a friend of mine, and he said, you know, 70% of the time we're guessing anyway.
Oh, I believe that's true.
70% of the time.
I think when it comes to doctors, they can eliminate the big three or four.
Yeah.
And then if it's not those, it could be one of a million.
Yeah. They check your blood pressure, and if that's not high, they're like, well.
Don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. So you're, come back if you're dying.
Eddie, are you the type of parent, as a new parent, who is terrified every time your kid turns over or spits up or something like that, that there's something wrong? Do you panic at that?
I was just talking backstage, or whatever you call the producing room, about how because my daughter almost dies every 5 minutes.
She's actually fine, but it seems to you like something's wrong.
I found her on my deck the other day. Our deck, all the rails are evenly spaced. Every single one is perfectly beside each other, the same, like 3 inches. Apparently, there's one that's like 6 inches.
Or
5 inches or something. And she, I'm like 10 feet away, and I see her put her head through it, and then her body, where she's going to fall off this deck into this rocky creek we have behind our house.
Oh, man.
And I was just like, I did that dad move where I, like, flew across the deck. I don't know how I did it. And
what about the sick thing, though?
You know, it's
because I was having a conversation with my daughter yesterday, and she reminded me of the time she was playing Little League, and she said, I feel sick, and I wanted to teach her a very important lesson, which is your team's counting on you. So even though your stomach may be a little bit upset, you need to
suck it up, buttercup.
Yes, and put the uniform on and get out there and play for your team.
Yeah.
And she walked right out to shortstop and puked and walked right back off the field.
Awesome. She puked on the field.
Yes, and I was like, I am the worst parent that has ever lived.
No, you're not. I agree with you. And you should have said, get back in there. It's out now.
You have to feel better now.
I had a comedy club owner tell me once, I had food poisoning. It was coming out both ends.
Oh, no.
And the comedy club owner said to me, I was like, I can't do the third. I had 3 shows in the night. I was like, I can't do the third show. After the second show, I sprinted to the bathroom.
Oh.
I'm in the stall, and I hear 2 guys in the bathroom while I'm like,
we understand. We know what goes on.
Yeah, yeah. I could do all the noises.
No.
But I hear these 2 guys talking, and they must have seen my shoes, and the one guy goes, hey, that's the comedian from the show. And then the other guy goes, probably on drugs. But the owner of the club, I said, look, I can't do the third show. And he goes, Michael Jordan played a game of basketball with food poisoning. You can get up there and do the third show.
Wow.
And I said,
that's a way to shame you.
If I start to get sick, I am going to find you. And I'm going to do it on you.
Did you do the third show?
I did the third show, and I went straight to the hospital right afterwards.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It was that bad.
Can I give you maybe a song that you might be able to work in? So if you're on stage and you feel like you have to run off, you just go,
let's think of something to do while we're waiting, while we're waiting.
Then you come back out and you grab the mic and you start entertaining people again.
You just put that bastard on, didn't you? I'm the one person in the world that does not like that guy, and I'll tell you what.
You don't like Mr. Rogers?
I hate him.
I hate him too, but Bean loves him.
I adore him, and I will not have you besmirch the great Fred Rogers, but we have to take a break. Eddie Ift is here. He's playing the Hollywood Improv this Friday night at 10 o'clock. Tickets available. You should go see this show, improv.com. Just $15, 18 and up. We'll be right back with Eddie.
You have a special something that you take to bed with you. Does it help you to go to sleep when you hold your special something?
Yeah, it does, Fred Rogers. Eddie Ift is here in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, playing the Hollywood Improv this Friday night. That's a fun night. Tickets available, improv.com. Eddie, a 2-time April Fool's Day performer, if I recall correctly.
Yes, right? Yeah. Three-time.
Is it 3?
I think it is 3.
My apologies. Yeah. Why do you hate Mr. Rogers, the greatest man that ever lived?
He spoke at my graduation, and I didn't even go because of him.
Oh, really?
Come on. Yeah.
Which graduation? Grade school? Because... I'm not going to finish
didn't
that
joke. Go past there. culinary school.
Mr. Rogers.
When I was a little kid, we went to swim at this place called the Pittsburgh Athletic Association.
Okay.
And
Mr. Rogers was based in Pittsburgh, for folks who don't know. That's where he did that show all those years.
And that's where I grew up. And one day, me and all the little kids were having fun swimming in the pool. And our hero walks into the pool area.
Oh, no.
And goes, kids.
Drops trow.
Out of the pool.
Out of the pool?
Out of the pool. Mr. Rogers is swimming. He threw us out of the pool.
Everybody?
Everybody. Now, I don't remember this part, but I do know this. And you can probably Google this, so I don't want to sound like him. But I remember that it was one of those pools where men did swim naked back in the day.
What?
Yeah.
What's happening? You're not making it. So kids are swimming in a pool where naked men swim.
Yeah, no.
Not at the same time, though, Kevin.
No, but I don't remember.
Not at separate times.
And I'm not saying I, like, saw Mr. Rogers naked or anything. I just remember him kicking us out of the pool, and we were all, as little kids, we were like, wasn't that? That was Mr. Rogers. It's just the mean guy that threw us out of the pool. Like, we were having a good time.
Are you sure it was Mr. Rogers and not that dick, Mr. McFeely?
That guy's creepy. Those Scottish eyebrows that he had.
Later that day in the pool.
But I get all soapy, you know, soap suds all over me.
Right.
And then my grandfather would take this hose and go like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
No.
So you were playing?
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
That's why I hate him.
Does anybody else have blood flow now?
Mr. McFeely came over here last night and asked if he could do something fun for me.
Uh-oh.
A kind of secret, he said.
Oh, don't make any secrets for Mr. McFeely.
So that just changed
everything for you.
So you have hated him since he kicked you out of the pool? Isn't it time to give up that hate?
No.
Really?
No, because there's no way of redeeming. It's not like I can meet up with him now and talk about it.
Right. It's too late.
Yeah.
So it's over for him.
Yeah.
As far as you're concerned.
Done.
Eddie, I have a question I've never asked you before.
Uh-oh.
You're a very likable, personable, well-traveled guy. Do you have any celebrity friends?
Yeah. I guess I have a few.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's your biggest celebrity friend? Like, who would impress us if we knew his number was in your phone?
Obama?
Mariel Hemingway?
I couldn't have guessed that was going to come up on today's show if you gave me $1 million.
Mariel Hemingway is somebody that
you know.
Is that
a comedy answer?
No, that's a really true answer. She's one of my really close friends. She's wonderful. She calls herself my daughter's godmother. I was with her a few days ago.
No kidding.
I was with Serge Tankian yesterday.
All right.
Serge is a
good
friend.
That's much impressive. Better. That's way better.
Yeah.
You lead with Serge.
Way better.
Yeah, Serge and I, our kids are the same age. And
is there a nicer guy than Serge?
No, there is no nicer person in this entire world.
In fact, he's so gentle and soft-spoken and just so wonderful and peaceful and nice. And then he gets on stage and you feel like the monster has been unleashed.
Exactly. Well, I feel like he's going to sniff me out at all times. Like, he's so nice that at one point he's just going to be like, we can't be friends anymore.
Because he's going to realize who you are?
Yes.
What you're about?
Yes, but then I listen to his music and I'm like, oh, okay. I was playing his music for one of my nephews that's like 8, and my nephew was like getting into it, and then all the swearing started happening, and my nephew was like, this is amazing.
So do you know him because of your kids going to school together? That's how you met?
It's a funny story. We live in the same neighborhood, and he was walking by my house one day, and he said to me, hey, I heard you just moved in the neighborhood, heard you're having a baby, so am I. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, you know, you getting ready? I said, I'm a little worried because I tour all the time. You know, I'm always on tour. And he goes, oh, what do you do? I said, I'm a comedian. He said, oh, yeah. And he said, I tour a little myself. And I said, what do you do? And he goes, I play in a band. And I was like, I wonder what band this is.
This is going to be somebody I've never heard of.
Some lame-o neighbor who thinks he's a musician.
What kind of tour do they go on in their van? You know? And he goes, what's the band? And he goes, System of a Down? And I go, and then it all started.
You mean the System of a Down?
And then it all started.
The one that sells out the forum? That one?
Occur to me who, and I went, yeah, I know who you are. And it was awkward from there on in.
God, that's a great band.
Yeah.
And it's one of those bands that's so frustrating because it seems like they can never all get it together to make a record and go out on tour. I mean, they're so very – it's like Rage Against the Machine. You just are waiting for them to put the magic back together and do what they do so well. And it's frustrating as a fan how infrequently they do that. You know what I mean?
Can you pass that along to Serge?
Yeah. Well, Serge is just an incredible artist in like a million different ways. Like,
yeah.
One day he said, hey, I'm having an art exhibition. Would you like to come? So my wife and I went, and it was all these paintings that he painted that he, you wore headphones and looked at the paintings and then listened to music that he wrote for the paintings.
Did you feel like a slacker?
Slacker's not the word.
Okay.
I looked at my wife and I go, I'm a complete fraud.
I'm a failure as a human.
I am not an entertainer.
We need to get out of this city right now. We need to go to somewhere like New Orleans.
You just need to move next to somebody less impressive.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
Yeah, but he's always up to something like artistic. You know, he conducts symphonies now.
Okay. All right.
Now he's just showing off.
That's a whole nother level of
where they play his music. And it's amazing. It's just
wow.
Yeah, I
I really feel inadequate around him all the time.
I didn't know what the answer was going to be to your closest celebrity friend, your biggest celebrity friend, but I have to tell you, I'm very impressed, and that really surprised me.
Mariel Hemingway?
And then Serge Tankian on top of that.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I meant.
All right, Eddie, what's going on? We're almost out of time, my friend. What's going on at the Hollywood Improv?
I'm not leaving!
Anything special Friday night?
Yeah, it is. It's a very important. I can't tell you why. I'll tell you why off air, but it's very important. I get a lot of support, and the K-Rock fans have been, your fans are, like, if it ever happens someday where I become, you know, a celebrity myself, I am going to thank you guys more than anyone because you've always been there for me, always supported me. Your fans have been unbelievable. I was going through TSA the other day, and a guy goes, "Hey, Eddie Ift, love you on K-Rock. You're great on K-Rock.
Oh, that's nice.
And I was like, thanks, man. And I was like,
ever seen one of my shows?
And he was, no. He was like, you don't have to take your shoes off.
And right then, you won life.
I was like, these are the perks you get.
That's right. That's as high a compliment as you can give a man. You don't have to take your shoes off. All right, hold on. Final words here.
Hi, neighbor.
Oh.
Had a little trouble with my zipper there.
Okay, no, all right. Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Thank you, Eddie F.
Hey, guys, thanks. I have to get a picture with your Band-Aid.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Our old friend Adam Carolla joins us on the show coming up right after 9 a.m. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Yeah! What's going on?
Yeah!
Gonna have some fun.
Big story, breaking news. Third Eye Blind now has its own clothing line.
And now, breaking news, boom!
I'm sorry.
You heard me.
Run that by me again.
Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind.
Now has their own clothing line.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Woo! Get his weak stock out of here.
Yeah!
What is the Third Eye Blind clothing line?
It is a clothing line from Third Eye Blind.
Right. And what makes it unique in any way?
It comes from them.
It's produced by Third Eye Blind?
Yes. That's why I said Third Eye Blind now has its own clothing line.
Okay, I'm
Does
still confused.
Does it tie into their music somehow with lyrics printed anywhere or
no,
anything like that?
No, it's just...
Is it...
There's a new label, a new...
For blind people?
Clothing line. Yes, Kevin.
I don't know.
It's a clothing line made specifically for blind people.
It's one of the words in the name. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what it would be. What would it be? Is it just their band?
What? How can you have such a hard time wrapping your head around
this? No, I'm saying, do you have
Sometimes
any more?
Sometimes people design clothing, Kevin, and then they release it.
Right. Have you seen any of it?
No. What's wrong with you?
How is it so impossible for me to think that maybe you've seen an item in this story? Maybe they said, here's a Third Eye Blind shirt.
Yeah, because they're always sending me the latest in
no,
fashion
No, I'm saying
news.
In the news report a lot of times they'll add pictures or whatever.
A portion of the proceeds from the line will go to a nonprofit organization in the Bay Area where the band is from that will help students and teachers in need with resources for reading and writing, which is nice. So it's not all greed. So if you're a Third Eye Blind fan, you can pick up something from their new clothing line. A semi-charmed kind of scarf or something. I don't know. I don't know what's available, but I'm sure you could scratch your itch. So to speak. Hey, Evanescence is back.
Are they?
Yeah. Get this weak stock out of here.
Amy Lee says that a vinyl box set of all the band's album is on the way.
Did they only have one?
I don't know. Okay. Including stuff released before Fallen, which I guess was their big breakout album. And their upcoming tour dates. Evanescence is back on the road. In Dallas, starting on Saturday, and then wrapping up November 23rd in Huntington, New York. So, Evanescence making a resurgence. That's right, you've heard me. I just did a Third Eye Blind and then an Evanescence story.
Now, what is happening right now? Are we on that TV show Timeless?
I'll turn to first.
Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
There you go, keep it going.
Right. It's very timely. Hotter than ever.
Look, it's Halloween time. It's October. When I think...
Is it October of 1992?
When I think October, I think Elvira.
Sure.
Look, I love Elvira.
I can tell, by the way, you're mocking me.
But what's happening in 2016 for Elvira that we need to know about?
Today, just hitting the world.
Hitting the world, okay.
Is a new giant coffee table book celebrating Elvira. It's photos of her 35-year career celebrating the Mistress of the Dark. So if you're a fan, I just want to give people a heads up out there that it's available. It's a coffin table book.
Okay.
See what they did there?
I see that.
And it's filled with amazing pictures of Elvira over her career, and I'm a big fan. So I just saw that was out today, and I wanted to give you a heads up. If you're a fan, you can check that out for yourself.
This is the greatest showbiz beat ever.
Right?
If you're Rodney Bingenheimer.
And Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh.
Is man enough to admit that although drinking isn't the best habit in the world, he is not giving it up.
He's been pretty solid on that conviction for quite some time.
Did a great interview this week with a journalist named Jess Cagle. And he said, look, yes, I've had some problems in my life because I let it get away from me. And there are some negative things that have happened in my life because of alcohol. But you know what? I really enjoy it. And I don't go and crawl inside a bottle when I have a rough patch or whatever. I like to go out with my friends and have a good time. And I am not giving that up. So I'm not driving while I do it, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tie a load on once in a while. Which I think is awesome.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Look, if you are aware that you have a propensity to overdrink and you're careful to make that not happen very often, I think you can handle it.
Very often is the key
word. I'm not saying
it's going to happen.
I don't feel like he's saying he'll never get drunk again.
Right.
But he's saying he's saying
he will definitely get drunk again.
He's in control enough that he's not an alcoholic and doesn't have a problem.
Right. He's highly functioning at worst.
Oh, right. Good for you. And how was it?
He's got a new album out, you know. He's got a new album, a country album.
Country music?
Yes. And one of the songs on that album is a love song dedicated to booze. So, you know, he's got a serious love affair with the cocktails.
Are you watching Designated Survivor?
Am I ever?
You like it?
Oh, love.
So you haven't seen it?
I've seen it and love it.
I've seen both episodes. I love it, too.
How can I not be louder about my love?
Well, we can't tell if you're serious or not.
Love it.
Same.
Let me talk about television that I've caught up on and I love.
Okay.
Finally got around to seeing Conviction.
Yes.
Really liked Conviction. Really
Same.
Liked it.
Same.
Last night's Flash.
Awesome!
It was one of the best.
Season 3 debut of Flash last night was terrific. So we're living in a golden age. We really are. But I love Designated Survivor. I really do.
Tonight is Arrow.
And tonight is the premiere of the new Arrow season, yes. And Supergirl is next
week,
I think.
And
then we got the Legends coming back. Oh, just superhero.
It's a good time to be a nerd, right, Ralph? Time. You and me, huh?
You want some more Band-Aids? Because I'll give them to you. You'll be covered up with Band-Aids when I'm done with you. Today's celebrity birthdays, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Genius and host of the show Star Talk, 58 years old today. Actor Guy Pearce turns 49. Kate Winslet celebrates her 41st birthday, and actor Jesse Eisenberg is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's been a while since we caught up with our old friend Adam Carolla. He is going to be appearing on Friday, October 28th at the City National Grove of Anaheim. Tickets are on sale now through adamcarolla.com, starting at just $35. That's a fun evening out. Hey, Ace Man, how are you?
Good, man.
What, which million-dollar Lamborghini are you driving in today as you speak with us?
Well, first off, I'm only driving a $111,000 Jaguar extension wheel space with the turbocharger. Actually, supercharger, I lied. But you think that's rich guys. I have spent so much on cars, you're wrong, Bean. Jag gives me this car for free.
Wow, that's crazy.
What a crazy life you lead, Adam Carolla.
You want to hear crazy?
I do.
In the car department?
Sure. Yes.
Or remember the last time we were talking about the Porsche and raising all that money and selling all the cars?
Right.
The due date for the money I owed the auction house was yesterday.
Oh, no.
And remind us how much it was.
I owed them $3.8 million.
All right.
They already had $1 million of my money in their pockets. The cutoff date was yesterday.
Uh-oh, I'm nervous.
If I did not come up with the $3.8 by yesterday, they would take my $1 million and sell the car to Jerry Seinfeld for $5
million. They wouldn't give you your million back.
No. And as of Monday night, I'd not heard anything back from the bank about the loan for the money to pay for this car before I sell all the other cars.
So you basically had about 24 hours.
Yeah.
From that point. Okay.
That's what happened.
Okay.
And?
And I immediately called my dad, and I said, Dad, what do you got? And he said, I have $11.
Because you've been taking care of Pops all these years.
Yeah, now the bank came through in the middle of the day yesterday. Otherwise, it would have been adios to $1 million.
Wow, that's way risky.
This is mo money, mo problems living is what this is, Adam.
I know, it's absolutely insane. But I thought, I started to get philosophical as I started to think about losing $1 million for nothing, throwing it away. And then there's a part of me that thought, especially coming from where I come from, which is just a crappy apartment in North Hollywood, I thought, you've arrived, right?
Right, like, right.
In a weird way, it's a better story.
But you may have arrived and left, though. That's your point, right?
Yeah.
You're back where you started. Saying,
symbolically, it's good. Emotionally, it's rough. But in a weird way, it's
circle of life.
Boy, I never thought I would get in this position where I would literally throw away $1 million.
All right. I have
cusp of it.
Two questions. One is, Kevin, you know how tough it is to face your wife after a bad weekend in Las Vegas. How do you go home to the bride and say, honey, remember that $1 million I put down on that car? Well, I lost it. It's in the wind. How do you even have that conversation with your wife?
Well, first off, I don't even know what's analogous about Kevin whoring in Las Vegas for a weekend and me losing money.
How dare you?
Those prostitutes are like, what, $150 a pop times seven?
I was just keeping it to gambling.
With tip. Oh, the gambling part.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And I'm there for
analogy.
And I'm there for two nights. So you got that.
Yeah, okay. That's a fair analogy there. Yeah, no, Bean, spot on. Good call.
So how was that conversation? I mean, was she on you saying, have you heard from the bank yet, about every 5 minutes?
No, she had no idea.
Oh, that's the way to play it. That's the way to play it. That's smart.
Yes.
All right. Yes. And the other part of the second part of my two-part question is, I know
By
you
the
thought...
way, can I say this, Bean? Can
yeah,
I say
sure.
this to all the husbands?
Yeah, sure.
That's why it's important to cultivate your 10,000-yard stare all the time when you're walking around the house or dealing with the kids or talking to the wife. Because then when you're actually thinking about things that would cause your 10,000-yard stare, they don't catch on because
I see.
That's the only way you look when you're around the house and looking at the kids
that's
and the wife.
That's smart. So just act scared all the time.
I like it.
All right.
Like what about this, Adam? I'm sure you thought of this. What about the Bank of Kimmel? Couldn't that have been the bailout right there at the last minute if you needed it?
Hello?
Did we just lose Adam?
His phone dropped. They just repossessed it.
Does he have a feature on his phone where if somebody mentions the K word, we get disconnected?
I don't have any idea if that's the case or not.
I mean,
just went dead.
It would take a lot for me to go to Jimmy and ask to borrow money.
I don't think I would.
I don't think I would either. But would you if you were going to lose $1 million if you didn't come up with the rest of the money that you owed? I mean, as a backstop, last minute, Hail Mary, I think you'd have to, right?
Not being in that position, I would say absolutely not.
Adam, did you hear the question before we lost you?
What do you say to the wife?
No. What about the Bank of Kimmel as a last-minute Hail Mary? Is that something that crossed your mind?
Yeah, I had a few rich white people I was thinking about hitting up before the last moment, and yes, I was very close to squeezing that trigger.
Gotcha. Well, I'm glad it worked out. So does this mean that you're going to get this Porsche that you've wanted your whole life? It means it's going to be yours then, right?
It means it's going to be mine, and I shall drive the car at Laguna Seca, and I'll keep you guys all abreast.
He's going to race it. That's the dumbest thing ever.
I will race this car in a group of 42 other cars, and I will run it hard.
All right. Well, listen, Adam Carolla, you can check him at adamcarolla.com for all of his podcasts, including with the great Dr. Drew. Also, the live show is coming up at the City National Grove of Anaheim with a very controversial special guest. Milo Yiannopoulos is going to be your guest. So expect some protesters, Adam. I'm sure that is going to be a very spirited evening. Have a good time. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. Thanks for coming on, Ace Man.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 937. The Culver City Fire Department just dropped off some T-shirts that they're selling to help support the Breast Awareness Month. Breast Awareness Month. I got that out.
Breast Awareness Month? Really?
Yeah, I mean,
is that what it is?
Breast Cancer.
No. Breast Awareness Month. I got that out. You were proud of the fact you said it's Breast Awareness
breast
Month.
Breast Cancer Awareness.
Most of the words.
Breast Cancer Awareness is what I'm talking about. You can get them at 9770 Culver Boulevard. Here's what I want to tell you, though. That while four of them were in the studio, here was Bean's question. I have a question for you guys. Why are all firemen so hot?
I said handsome, by the way. I didn't say
handsome.
Hot.
Why are you so handsome?
Well, they are. It's ridiculous. Anytime you see a group of firefighters, they all look like freaking models. It's just weird. It can't be a coincidence. Doesn't it seem like that's who they hire?
They should have talked to someone else here.
Right?
Anyone else.
Somebody that can get the right information
Cat
out?
Corbett or...
Why do some people tune out?
Rodney that's a great Stryker. Question. There must have been someone here at the station that could have talked to them. They would have been better off with Rodney.
Breast Cancer Awareness.
Breast Awareness Month.
Is what I meant.
I got it out. Breast Awareness Month. That's right.
You know what? Every month is Breast Awareness Month
That's
in
true.
My house.
That is true.
That's the voice of Ralph Garman. It's time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
you have a date, Speed?
Let's speed through this.
You have an appointment with a funeral director who's giving you a tour of the great cemeteries of New Orleans or something?
No, I was just handing it off to you for your report. That's all. I just thought you'd appreciate an intro.
Nike! They've released their Back to the Future Power Lace shoes, right?
I guess.
Well, they only made 89 pairs, so I'm just saying, you probably won't get any. Unless you buy a raffle ticket to benefit the Michael J. Fox Foundation.
Ooh.
Nike announced yesterday morning they're releasing the 2016 Nike Mag Power Lace shoes. From Back to the Future Part 2, and the shoes will be raffled off for $10 a ticket between now and October 17th to benefit Michael J. Fox's charitable foundation to fund research into Parkinson's disease. Anyone can enter the raffle. There is no limit to the amount of raffle tickets that you can buy, and all proceeds go to the foundation. So do yourself a favor. If you're interested in those shoes, give to a worthy cause, because the Michael J. Fox Foundation does great work in terms of raising money for not only awareness, but research dollars for Parkinson's. So, it's good stuff.
You should let Kevin handle all the heavy lifting on the charity plugs, Ralph.
Yeah,
thank
sorry,
you. Thank you, Pete.
It's Fox Awareness Month. Be aware of a fox in your neighborhood, and then you should go and fox hunt with power shoes.
All right, now Bean's impression.
Oh, I'm not doing it again. I learned my lesson. I got burned.
Anderson
Picture Coop. Woman was real.
Anderson Cooper has just signed a long-term deal to stay at CNN. He will continue to host Anderson Cooper 360, but he's also going to be doing guest shots on 60 Minutes. So
he's been doing that for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, yeah, he comes in and out as a real good correspondent for them.
Not very professional at times, I think.
I don't know what's funny about that. It's just talking about your contract.
All right. Okay. Anderson. All right. Okay.
You can't be surprised by this news. He was involved.
This means, of course, Coop won't be in the running to take over for Michael Strahan and replace him on ABC's Morning Show Live with Kelly Ripa, as has been rumored that he might be a candidate. He's out of the picture now because he's got a new deal with CNN. So, sorry about that, boys and girls. And how about last night on Dancing with the Stars, huh?
Huh? That was crazy.
Sasha proposed to Emma.
On Dancing with the Stars?
Yes.
Which one of them is the star and which one of them is the dancer?
Oh, come on, Bean. You know Sasha and Emma.
I don't. I'm sorry.
Sasha.
Right.
Oh.
Sasha who?
The dancer. Sasha the Dancer.
Okay.
Proposed to Emma the Star.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
He's making that up.
No, I'm pretty
sure. So these are people who met as and became partners
yes.
on the show and have since fallen in love and now are
yes.
engaged? That's romantic.
All right. Glad we got your stamp of approval.
Then there was a double elimination. Babyface and Vanilla Ice and their partners were eliminated and had to leave the show. So, sad news.
Is it?
Is Ryan Lochte still on that show?
I don't know.
Anybody know?
I don't watch that show.
Those guys who rushed the stage, who humiliated him.
Yeah.
They went before a judge in Los Angeles yesterday who ordered them to stay at least 300 yards away from the swimmer, as well as CBS Studios where the show was filmed. So there's a restraining order against them. They could get up to 6 months in jail and fines of $1,000 if they're convicted, by the way, in the charges that they were arraigned for. But we'll know more on October 21st when they go back to court. Lochte, by the way, I think just got another endorsement deal, too. He's some migraine medicine or something.
I sure had a headache of a problem in the Olympics. But now, luckily for Migralex, I no longer have any headaches.
He's a dynamic spokesperson.
He is.
You're going to get your money's worth out of him. Migralex is the name of the medication,
wow.
by the way. So, good times. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Star of Star Talk, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Scientist, all-around good guy. And one of the few black guys I know can pull off the cowboy hat look.
Yeah, he sure can.
Came in here wearing a cowboy hat.
Uh-huh. He sure did.
That's a good look for you, star guy. He's 58 years old today. Guy Pearce is 49 years old today. Actress Kate Winslet celebrates her 41st birthday. Actor Jesse Eisenberg is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour today on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we've got Dr. Drew on the show. We're going to talk
Breast Awareness Month with him.
We're going to talk sports with Jim Rohn. And writer, director, actor, comedian Kevin Pollak joins us in studio tomorrow as well on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.